Cox's Bazar is a fishing town in Bangladesh where minority Rohingya from Myanmar have sought refuge after being forced to flee their homes. Aid agencies estimate 60% of the residents there are children, including many who have lost their parents. Anwar Hossain is a Rohingya refugee who escaped conflict in Myanmar and is now living in a refugee camp in Bangladesh. Along with his wife and children, a lost child, no older than three, is also staying with them.
When we were crossing the border, I found this child stranded in a field, so I brought him back with me. Since we could not find his parents, he's staying with us as a family member. Though my wife is there for him, he still cries for his own mother.
A new report, Childhood Interrupted, launched by Save the Children, Plan International and World Vision, looks at the situation facing Rohingya children in the camps. The report estimates that 688,000 refugees have fled from Myanmar since August last year, following an increase in violence in the region. Most have ended up living in tents in Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh. Acting CEO of Plan International, Suzanne Lagena, explains how the charity has been helping to register unaccompanied, separated and orphaned children.
We know that wherever there is a crisis that involves large numbers of children, those children become really vulnerable to being trafficked. So one of the things that we, aid agencies like us, governments try to do straight away is kind of recreate a protective mechanism that allows kids to be, you know, tracked and traced and connected to their family or people who mind them so that they can be in a safe environment and are kind of protected from predators.
UNICEF estimates that in 2016, around 28 million children around the world were living in forced displacement. In addition to this, the UN agency says around 7 million children were internally displaced due to natural disasters. In the case of Rohingya children, there are no reliable statistics available about how many children have been separated or whose parents have died. After conducting interviews with 200 children in the camps, the report proposes a number of measures to address issues identified by the children involved. These include awareness raising around trafficking risks, as well as ensuring information is accurate in a bid to minimise unnecessary fear. The report also recommends existing community safety patrols in the camps be reviewed to ensure teenage girls be given more opportunities to participate in activities. Ms. Lagena says in the environment of a refugee camp, unaccompanied children can sometimes be tricked by strangers who pretend to have interest in their welfare, but who are really seeking to exploit the children.
We always are kind of working on the ground with the community to try to prepare them that this is the kind of thing, unfortunately, that sometimes happens in a crisis, is people prey on that situation for the worst possible reasons. And our job is to keep those kids as safe as we can.
Sabrina Karim is an assistant professor at the Department of Government at Cornell University in the United States. She has recently returned from the Rohingya camps in Bangladesh to look at how the camps are being managed. Ms. Karim says while she describes the situation in the camps as desperate and horrific, the positive is the Bangladeshi government has been doing a good job of coordinating aid agencies working in the camps. She puts this down to Bangladesh's decades-long involvement in peacekeeping missions, as well as its management of its own regular natural disasters.
The way that the Bangladesh government has done this is that they've kind of set up a separate civilian body to kind of oversee all of the different aid organizations that are coming into the country. Any aid organization is applying and getting approval.
While the situation facing Rohingya children remains acute, it can be difficult for charities to maintain long-term public interest in the suffering that continues for people in refugee camps. Some health experts describe this as compassion fatigue, that is, where people stop engaging with distressing events occurring overseas because of an overwhelming sense of powerlessness to change anything. Add to this public concern over allegations of misconduct by some foreign aid workers, such as in the recent scandal involving sexual misconduct allegations by Oxfam employees in Haiti, and charities often face an uphill battle to raise funds for their work. Ms. Karim says there's also conflicting research about how to make aid efforts more effective.
There's actually a lot of mixed results when it comes to what the data show about whether or not aid induces more conflict or prevents conflict. So it's actually, there's no conclusion on that. So what is very important is to understand the dynamics of what's going on before flushing a lot of aid in. Like there really needs to be a plan for that, how that aid is being used, and that's going to vary based off of each conflict, based off of each situation.
What is known, though, is for Rohingya children stranded in refugee camps and for the people who are attempting to help them, the future remains uncertain. Ms. Lagena explains.
We really need to consider that that's a possibility. These children are going to be displaced for a significant amount of time. We need to be ensuring that we are sort of scaling up the humanitarian need. The monsoons will hit soon and that will make a bad situation worse. And we need to ensure that, in particular, children, and I would say, you know, there's a particularly vulnerable group of girls amongst those children, young women, that they are protected and that we use whatever powers we have to kind of ensure that, you know, we absolutely do no harm and that we think about getting these kids back into some kind of normalcy as soon as possible.